Nora Webster by Cullum Tobin, read by Niamh Cusack. Chapter 1.
You must be fed up of them. Will they never stop coming?
Tom O'Connor, her neighbour, stood at his front door and looked at her, waiting for a response. I know, she said.
Just don't answer the door. That's what I'd do.
Nora closed the garden gate. They mean well. People mean well, she said.
Night after night, he said. I don't know how you put up with it.
She wondered if she could get back into the house without having to answer him again. He was using a new tone with her, a tone he would never have tried before. He was speaking as though he had some authority over her. People mean well, she said again. But saying it this time made her feel sad, made her bite her lip to keep the tears back. When she caught Tom O'Connor's eye, she knew that she must have appeared put down, defeated. She went into the house. That night a knock came at almost 8 o'clock. There was a fire lighting in the back room and the two boys were doing their homework at the table.
You answer it, Donal said to Connor.
No, you do.
One of you answer it, she said. Connor, the younger one, went out to the hall. She could hear a voice when he opened the door, a woman's voice, but not one that she recognised. Connor ushered the visitor into the front room.
It's the little woman who lives in Court Street, he whispered to her when he came back into the back room.
Which little woman? She asked.
I don't know.
May Lacey shook her head sadly when Nora came into the front room.
Nora, I waited until now. I can't tell you how sorry I am about Morris.
She reached out and held Nora's hand.
And he was so young. I knew him when he was a little boy. We knew them all in Friary Street.
Take off your coat and come into the back room, Nora said. The boys are doing their exercise, but they can move in here and turn on the electric fire. They'll be going to bed soon anyway. May Lacey, wisps of thin grey hair appearing from under her hat, her scarf still around her neck, sat opposite Nora in the back room and began to talk. After a while, the boys went upstairs. Connor, when Nora called him, was too shy to come down and say goodnight, but soon Donal came and sat in the room with them, carefully studying May Lacey, saying nothing. It was clear now that no one else would call. Nora was relieved that she would not have to entertain people who did not know each other, or people who did not like each other.
So, anyway, May Lacey went on, Tony was in the hospital bed in Brooklyn, and did this man arrive into the bed beside his, and they got talking, and Tony knew he was Irish, and he told him his wife was from County Wexford.
She stopped and pursed her lips, as though she were trying to remember something. Suddenly, she began to imitate a man's voice.
Oh, and that's where I'm from,
the man said. And then Tony said she was from Enniscorthy.
Oh, and that's where I'm from too,
the man said. And he asked Tony what part of Enniscorthy she was from, and Tony said she was from Friary Street.
May Lacey kept her eyes fixed on Nora's face, forcing her to express interest and surprise.
And the man said, that's where I'm from too. Isn't that extraordinary?
She stopped, waiting for a reply.
And he told Tony that before he left the town, he made that iron thing, what would you call it? A grill or a guard on the windowsill there at Jerry Crane's. And I went down to look at it, and it's there all right.
Jerry didn't know how it got there, or when. But the man beside Tony in the bed in Brooklyn, he said that he made it. He was a welder. Isn't that a coincidence? To happen in Brooklyn. Nora made tea as Donal went to bed. She brought it into the back room on a tray with biscuits and cake. When they had fussed over the tea things, May Lacey sipped her tea and began to talk again.
Of course, all of mine thought the world of Morris. They always asked for him